God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He died for me. He died for me. He died for me. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me.
Amen.
All right. Have you forgiven me yet? There's two things that you have to forgive me for. One was, man, wasn't that an excellent challenge at the brunch this morning?
Oh.
Sorry, I got caught in practice. Didn't make it back. But then the other thing is, how many of you like to, when you get your plate full of food, like when you go to the buffet, you have to keep everything separate. Each item has its own place. And when you eat one item at a time. How many of you are like that? Okay, that's the people that need to forgive me. Because I'm going out of order. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. See, I was so excited to preach this passage that I forgot 11 and 12. And so I'll get to that next week, unless Christ comes back. That'd be really cool. Wouldn't that?
Amen.
There we go. Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool if Christ came back? Yeah, there we go. That's better. I was watching Larry said, watch this song on YouTube. And I was watching this older, it must have been an older preacher singing a song. And on one section, it must be been some Southern Baptists, because it was just over in this section, sorry. Man, those guys were out of the pews and shaking their Bibles and going, hey, hey, hey. And all he was doing was singing, but man, they were into it. First, I thought it was Pentecostal, but it was Baptist. We have one Southern Baptist over here. It's from, was it North Carolina? Is that where you're going? North Carolina? Okay. That's enough south, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. All right. James chapter 4 and verse 13 through 17. We're going to be talking about practical atheism tonight in a church full of people that are supposedly Christians. Say, how dare you talk about that? Well, tonight we're going to do that. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, I want to get into this right here. We've entered 2020. Sorry, I started 2020 with a lot of cheesy jokes. I went home and asked my wife if she thought they were funny, and she says, I didn't get them. Sorry, they're preacher jokes, but I'll try to start it better next time. But anyway, I have till 2021 to be able to do that. Isn't that weird to say 2020, okay, but anyway, starting off 2020, how many of you have created resolutions? One, okay, maybe two, maybe one and a half. Okay, how many of you broke them already? Okay, all right, yeah. Yeah, well, we always have this thing, it's called resolutions, because you enter the new year, and it says, it's going to be the new year, the new me, and I'm going to come out with all these new things and better myself. Well, you know what, as you come in, it's a good thing to do, it's a good thing, because change needs to happen, doesn't it? Good change, not bad change. There's a denomination that's supposedly united, but they're splitting right now because of bad change. don't know if anybody's noticed some of the headlines. Some people are holding on to a truth from God's word, and the other half is not. And so what was united is now becoming split. It's bad change. Good change. That's what we need for 2020. Now, just think about it this way. I would like, if you've got a piece of paper, write it on a piece of paper. If you have mental notes, write it down in your mental notes. If you are confused about both of those things, just try, okay? What are your three biggest desires for this next year? And I mean, just really be thinking about that and really go off of last year. Okay, what have I been doing? What are some of the biggest desires that I have? You say, Pastor, you're not giving me enough time to think through some of these things. Just give you a few moments as I talk through this. But what's your three biggest desires for this next year? And some of you are the spiritual and button your top button here on your suit coat and say, well, I would love to, and you change your voice and change the whole accent of it. No, not the Sunday school answer. Just really think about your three biggest desires for this next year. What's your plan for 2020? You say, I have no plan. You're dangerous. Aren't you? It's like going on vacation without knowing the destination. Has anybody ever done that? We might end up in Hewittville, I'm not sure. What is your three biggest desires? Maybe some of you want to find true love. You might want to get married this year, find a boyfriend or girlfriend. Some of you would just like to have a job or find a better one. Searching that out. Maybe your focus is on starting your retirement at 65. Or focus on building your bank accounts. Maybe it's buying a new house or fixing your house or trying to get in someone else's house. I don't know. Maybe you just want to relax this year. Maybe you want to get a new car. Maybe that's your focus. Say, oh, my vehicle is just kind of, you know, run down. And I want to get a new vehicle this year. Tomorrow, I'm hoping I'm going to get a loaner vehicle because my truck's supposedly going to get fixed. I'm hoping that it'll be comparable to my truck. So I'm thinking maybe a Chevy Corvette, a Camaro. I don't know if that person's insurance company will care for that, but I'm just hoping. I'm hoping it's not a creeper 15-passenger van, you know, that I'll be driving around. Hey, you want some candy? You know. I told you sorry to begin with, all right? Does everybody have it listed? Maybe it's I want to go on a diet, or I want to have some muscle gain. I bought my 12-month membership. Maybe it's I want to drink more coffee, eat more Krispy Kremes. Amen. Isn't that good? Past Greek. There's all kinds of things that's out there. Everybody finished? Did I ramble enough for you to be able to finish your mental notes and on your paper, filling up your bulletin? Now I want you to be thinking about this. Now is when you get in trouble, right? You're always waiting. First the pastor asks you a question and asks you to answer something, and then he trips you up. And here's where I'm going to trip you up. Have you ever spoken to an atheist? Have you spoken about their belief system, what they truly believed? There is no God. I don't believe there is God. Yet, when they're in a foxhole, who do they ask to pray for them? But I was just thinking about that. As you talk to an atheist, they are pretty staunch about their beliefs, and they're very staunch. A lot of atheists that I've talked to, most of them are just angry with God. They're angry with the church. They're angry with God, so they just don't want to believe in God. There's a lot of people that just want to live their own life without some sort of an authority figure set in place. And so they have a certain belief system. They're very easy to criticize. But you know, it's very easy for us as Christians to criticize them, isn't it? And sometimes the way that we present ourselves over Facebook, I wonder if we could go off and ask them to come to church with us the next day. This is the way that we communicate about people. Sometimes the way that we make fun of people as Christians because of their belief system out in public, and then we go and say, Christ loves you. Wonder what that communicates, but as we sit back and maybe even criticize, maybe we should probably stop that. But have you ever thought that a Christian could become a practical atheist where they would claim Christianity but act as if there is no God? Say, I am a Christ follower, but everybody questions that. And it's so simple for those that are outside the church to look on the inside and for them to pick out these practical atheists. You say, again, what is that? It's somebody who claims Christianity, and yet they turn around and live as if there is no God. So how did I just trip you up with your three things? Maybe you ended up with 10 things. I don't know what it is. But did you ever ask if God was a part of any of those things that you wrote down? Did you ever ask God if this was the right thing, if this was the right thing on your list, that this might be the first thing on your list, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, whatever it might be? Have you ever considered God in your list? Maybe you have a list for your spouse, a list for your kids or your grandkids. Have you ever considered God in your list for your kids, grandkids, spouse, your friends? So why are you asking all these questions? Because we have to step back and think, okay, how are we directly or indirectly affecting others in the way that we do live our lives? And so you say, okay, let's read through the passage. All right, I agree with you. Verse 13 of James chapter 4. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How many of you have ever heard this passage being preached? I mean, James is a pretty popular book to preach from, especially with evangelists as they come through at Bible college, whatever that might be. As we get into this, please do not get into that rut of we've been here before and then just totally cancel this situation out, this sermon out, okay? And as we get into this, see it for what, as we try to dive into this and we try to move through it and understand it, please open yourself up to, am I living as a Christian, quote unquote, who lives as if there is no God? Verse 13, we're going to be talking about how a practical atheist plans. How does he plan? It says, go to now. Okay, here we go. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You say, what is wrong with this? This sounds like a good business plan. This sounds like somebody who's maybe a farmer who's going to the farmer's market and they're going and trying to make a buck, trying to provide for their family. It just sounds normal living. Doesn't it sound like normal living to you? Okay, but as he gets into this, you got to pick this apart and get to where, as we have a follow-through of where he says there's an issue here. And you say, well, what is it? Well, this is what a practical atheist does when he or she plans. I will leave when I want to leave. There's a few different phrases that I want to share with you. I will leave when I want to leave. I will go where I want to go. I will stay as long as I want to stay. I will be what I want to be. And I will be successful. Has anybody tried to do that for 2020? I want to do this. This is how I want to do it. This is how long I'm going to do it. This is who I want to be, and I want to be successful. Do we usually, when we make up our plans, do we usually say, yeah, I'm going to fail at this? That's why I'm creating a plan. Does anybody do that? I mean, you say, I'm creating a plan to fail. And no. I don't think anybody initially does that. Now, some people are a little bit hard on themselves, and they end up saying that. I don't know why we do, but yet, initially, when we try to create a plan, we want success. And this is where he's at. He's saying, I want to leave when I want to leave. Today or tomorrow, we are going to do this. This is what's going to happen. Has anybody ever made a plan before? Did it always go the way that you wanted it to go? This has been my life. I started out as wanting to be a dog rancher. I don't know why. I thought they were nice animals. It's better than an alligator rancher. No, I wanted to be a soccer player. My dad said if I wanted to make money, I better become a mechanical engineer, and I never got anywhere with that. The only reason why I took extra classes in school is because there was a girl in there, and sorry, Keely, she already knows. There was a girl in there, and I was competing for a GPA, and I'm a competitive person. I don't know about you. Anybody competitive in here? Okay. If you're going to do something, I will do it better. That's just the way that I am. And so if you got to take extra classes, even though it's going to be useless for me in my life, I'm going to take extra classes in order to get a better GPA than you. And that's exactly what I sought out to do, and that's exactly what I did. And I rubbed it in their faces just a tad. But I that's what I wanted to do, and this GPA was going to get me through college and pay for things. You know, at Christian colleges, they really just don't give much of a scholarship for a GPA. Here's $800 of a tuition of $16,000, and that was back in, you know, and you only get one scholarship. Okay. And work for $7 an hour. Now you're all saying, well, back in my day, I worked for 25 cents an hour. Okay, rub it in my face. But we all had a plan. No, I had a plan. And some of you had a plan. How many of you had a high school sweetheart that you never ended up with? A few of you? How many of you actually ended up with your high school sweetheart? Okay, a few of you? Okay. There was a lot less. I think it's hilarious when seventh graders start to date. Isn't it? Isn't it hilarious? I don't know why, but you want to go out with me? They got a plan. It's something. It's something, you know, because Miles, he's trying to find a girl, but I don't know. It's something. He just knows, you know, I gotta find a girl, and there's a plan, and I gotta work out that plan, and it's gonna work out, and I'm gonna be successful, and you know, it's interesting. I always had a plan, and I was gonna, you know, marry my high school sweetheart. Well, that didn't work out. He got to college, and when she starts to have a guy as a workout partner, a study partner, and a movie watching partner, and it kind of creates a few questions in your mind, doesn't it? When she wants to spend less time talking on the phone with you, but God, this wasn't my plan. I went off to Pillsbury Baptist Bible College, and no, it was not to create pastries. I was following in Pastor Newman's footsteps. And that's where he went, at least for a year, I think. He said that they created a statue for him. He wanted me to put a scarf and a hat. And I just never could find it. I even went into the underground tunnels, and I couldn't find it there either, full of asbestos, I don't know. But it was an old military school, and you know, my dad is funny, because he asked a group that was coming through from Pillsbury, he says, so how well is the school financially? Like, are they financially sound? Oh yeah, great, great. So I went. And they closed down my first semester. God, what are you doing? I will go at this such and such time, and I will do such and such. I will be such and such, and I will be successful. And 2 weeks before school was supposed to start the next semester, I applied for the school that I did not want to go to, Northland. It's also closed, by the way. I didn't close that one down. It was after I left. But I showed up there, and I really didn't like my roommates. You like your roommates? Oh, that's nice. But you know, it's interesting. I met my wife doing ministry. And I did graduate. Not with the same degree, technically, that I went in for, and not with the same classes that I was supposed to get. And nothing ever seemed to work out the way that I wanted it to work. And it just never felt like I was being successful. You know, God, I want to do what you want to do, but yet really am I seeking his will, and am I getting upset at the times when my plan doesn't work out, but yet his plan is? See, a person can come in here and say, I'll leave when I want to leave. It could be today or tomorrow. I will go where I want to go. I'll go into such a city. It is wrong to go places without consulting God. It is wrong to tell God that you will never go to such a place, because that's usually where he sends you. I've told you before, I lived in Flint for a little while. That's the one place that I told God I wouldn't go. And it seemed like everything just totally messed up there. Just everything seemed to explode. And yet, as I look back, it seems like God just was making every move at the right time, when he wanted it to happen, how long we were supposed to be there, how we needed to learn. I mean, there was just so many things that there's so many experiences that you go through. I mean, there was one time where we had youth group, and my wife was in Minnesota visiting her family, and we had 20-some kids there. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. But we had two juvenile felons there, too. They're twins. And by the end of the night, I couldn't gain control of the youth group at all, and it looked like my youth leaders were over in the corner in fetal position crying, and I was just standing there. And it's like, take them home. They don't want this. Why am I here? What am I doing? See, a practical atheist will come in and just plan all these things out with it, taking God into consideration. And sometimes when we get in our low of lows, we never reach out to God and say, God, could you take my hand? I just need somebody's hand to hold. God, your word's right here. Just need to read a little bit more. Just need to understand that next step. See, practical atheist plans, and it's always successful. But a practical atheist will always leave God out of it. And that's where we got to come back to it. Of God, what do you want for my children? This was, again, I think I've stated this before in here. But I think this is a dream for every parent in Illinois. Get out. Is that God's will? I was talking to Riley, not my daughter, but Riley Matheny, and we were talking about how he'll probably never leave Missouri. And I said, just you wait. It always seems like everybody comes back to Taylorville. You never know. You never know. And why would we say we will never do such a thing? Because it's usually not in our success plan. What if my kid never goes to college? What if my kid doesn't do what I want them to do in the time that they should do it? What if my friends don't do? I mean, there's certain things that we just need to back up and say, okay, God, and what do you want me to do with the children that you have given me? What do you want for them? What do you want for, what's their next step? What are you going to do in this next moment? I thought it was hilarious, and Kathy really thought it was hilarious yesterday. When you're on a bus or on a train going to Chicago, usually you don't look at anybody when there's an empty seat next to you, okay? You just don't look at anybody because they might sit next to you. But have you ever noticed that? It's like the elevator, too. You don't look at anybody in the elevator. You don't look at anybody when you have a seat empty next to you. And all of a sudden, this young kid sits, he's not in the seat next to me, but in the aisle row across the side, and he just starts talking to me. And man, that kid was funny. He ended up getting me to tell him my most embarrassing story, which Kathy was retaining in her mind. She was laughing behind me, and I could hear it the whole entire time. I was like, man, I should not tell him this stuff. This is horrible. I should make up stuff. I should really make up stuff. But you know, I did not plan to talk to anybody on that trip. I really didn't want to. That's not my personality. And I was hoping my wife would sit by me the whole entire time, but I let her go sit by another one of the ladies that was along with us, so she didn't have to sit with anybody else. But here I am, I'm talking to this guy, and somehow the conversation comes directly around to God.
And no, it's not the spiritual story that you hear from an evangelist that says, yes, he got saved right there in the aisle. He got down on the... No, no, no. But I just asked him, so he kept saying, there's nothing in this community for anybody. I said, well, do you have a church? He said, yeah, 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 that's exciting. We get to do this and take the kids here. And all of a sudden, it's just like his face changed about going from there's nothing for anybody to, yeah, we get to do all these things. And I said, well, what's the name of your church? And he says, Grace. I said, guess what the name of my church is? Grace. He's like, yeah. We have plans. A practical atheist plans without God in view. He also forgets. A practical atheist forgets in verse 14. It says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I've got a challenge for you. Tonight, go and get your tea kettle. And how many of you have a tea kettle? Yeah, a few of you. Okay, all right. Go get your tea kettle, put some water in there, put it on the boiler, and then let it, you know, do its thing. All of a sudden, you see the steam coming out. Now do this, let your spouse videotape you, record you, and then send me all the videos, okay? All right? Now, you try to catch it, the vapor that erupts from that kettle. Anybody want to try that tonight? Is it possible? See, that's about like life, isn't it? Well, I got this plan for this week, and what happened to that whole entire year? Anybody know what happened to 2019? Now we're into 2020, and then all of a sudden we'll be in 2021, and then pretty soon I'll be 75 and trying to retire and still getting up here, I guess, but anyway. It's just, what happens? Plans are not guaranteed. Anything could happen. This last week, I wanted to start working on the teen room. We want to redo it, and then I was thinking, oh, this is going to be great. You know what happened? We all got sick like 30 times. Pastor wouldn't let me come. He says, I had the plague. I wasn't allowed to come into the office. I wasn't allowed to do it. And he's like, man, God, What are you doing? I mean, this is 2020. I've got a vision for what's going to happen in 2020. It's going to be exciting. Let's do this thing. I've got resolutions. And everybody's in bed or in the bathroom or chugging medicine. Your baby's going to the ER. Thank God that was not on my schedule. And thank God it wasn't much. But you always get worried about a 3-month-old. You just do, don't you? And just everything's just kind of exaggerated. I know some have a third child and they just leave them outside. But we care about our third child and we want her to survive Illinois so that she could say, I survived Illinois. I had this whole plan, and I bet you the Burgess feel the same way. I mean, this past month they've been sick at least 30 times, and you're just thinking, God, what is going on here? And this is what God does. He brings us to the point where we understand that we are this. This is the thing that just kept flowing through my mind. I am such a fragile human being. Have you ever said this? My body does not work the same way it used to. Say, you're 29. What are you saying that for? Well, that's what's happening. You know, this is swelling up and that's not working right. And just wait. I always get told this, don't get old. Like I can change that. Really? As we get back into this, a practical atheist forgets this. He forgets. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Why does it say stop worrying about tomorrow? Because you've got enough going on today in Matthew. Isn't that true? Just try to get past today. Just get through the day. Make sure it's going forward. Making sure that you're holding on to his hand. But you know, a practical atheist forget that life is short and it will be gone like that. And we have tasted that as grace. How many people have died before their time? Now names are popping up in your mind. And we're thinking, what am I doing with today? What if today is the last day, or am I just living it for myself? How many days, months, years do we waste on nothing? How many do we have left? Now take your three desires for this year and ask yourself, are they worth it? Now that God is in view, are they worth it? You know what a Christian does? A Christian submits. Verse 15, it says, for that ye ought to say, this is what you ought to do. I've been told that quite a bit. This is what you ought to do instead of what you're doing. If the Lord wills, we shall live. God is the one who sustains me. It says in Colossians that Jesus Christ, everything was made by him. Everything consists by him. He is preeminent. What a beautiful book, letter to read. But he is preeminent. He's created everything. And he's created everything for him. And we should just ask God, if it be your will that I even live today, God, may I use it according to your will as it is in heaven. What does it say? It says, for you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. He's saying, what is he talking about? It's stating this, that we go through life and we achieve certain things, and listen, and we rejoice in those achievements and who we are and what all that we've done, and that our plan actually came together, right? It's working out. He's saying all rejoicing of that is evil. Why? Because we never took God into consideration for what needs to happen. And we have struggles being okay with what God wants to happen in our lives. Are you thankful for the valleys as much as you are for the mountains? But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Maybe, and when I'm saying maybe, I'm actually saying what we ought to do is to ask God for permission at the start of our day to live for his glory. Do you remember back when you were a teenager and you had to ask your parents if you could go and drive the vehicle? You say, well, I own the vehicle, it's mine. You don't own anything until you're 18 years old. That's what I was told
My dad never told me that. It was just understood. But I was told by other people, you don't own anything until you're 18. You might have paid for it, but you just don't own it. Right? You have to ask for permission. Some of you are 27 and still have to ask for permission. But, you know, that's a whole other topic. I love it when my daughter comes up to me and she says, can I go sit with the Burgess or the Leonards? Can I go sit with these people? I love that. I first asked, do they even want you to sit with them? But she knows she has to get that permission to do what is next. My son knows, even though he probably doesn't apply it all the time, that he cannot just grab the keys, go out, and try to start the vehicle. He understands that to a certain extent. He's never tried. But there's this permission that we need to ask God. God, if it be your will, may I live for your glory today? May I train my children for your glory today? May I be able to keep working this job today? May I be able to, God, if it be your will, can I do this or that? God, may I follow what you'd have for me? As we close this out, I want to ask this. If you're here tonight and you say, I've never even become a child of God, so why would I even need to ask his permission for anything anyway? Well, I just want to tell you, tonight is your night. Your night to come to Christ, because that should be the first thing on your list for 2020. To back up and say, okay, what's next? Acknowledge that he is God, and he created you in his image. And there was a marring because of sin, and we need the gospel. What is that? Jesus Christ. He sent his son to die for us that we might be saved. Praise God. And you get to do that. You get to accept that gift that's been handed over to you, just like you accepted every Christmas gift. You never questioned that. You didn't say, I don't know. I mean, there's this huge box that says my name on it, but I just think I'm going to pass that up. You didn't question that for Christmas. And yet when God offers his son as a sacrifice, so many people question. Think it's foolishness. So I encourage you here tonight. Ask anybody who's been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Has it changed you? Has it been good for you? Has it been better ever since then? I mean, come on. Make that acknowledgement and get saved tonight. But if you're a Christian here tonight, how does your list need to change? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this time. And God, there's many times when we forget you. We forget all that you've done for us. And in the hard times and the good times, God, we just ask that you would help us to remember who you are and that we need to follow after you. And not just for this year, but for the rest of our lives. God, if there's someone here that has never been saved, Lord, they do so tonight. If there's some Christians here tonight that just need a reality check with their list, God, may you help them. May you help me. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.